Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Krumrie. The Juneau School Board will take public testimony tomorrow as it works on building out a budget. This comes as the preliminary budget projects more than a $5.3 million deficit. Nicole Herbert is a CFO for the district. She said that the deficit could be covered in a couple of ways. One method is taking from savings.
We're looking at needing about 5.3 in fund balance and or reductions in services provided to maintain our current level.
The preliminary budget includes all budgeted positions from the current fiscal year and assumes all employees will opt into the district-funded health insurance plan. But some of those positions are not filled, and not all employees enrolled in the insurance plan this year. That means there are unspent funds that can go into the district's savings, which is projected to be $7.8 million at the end of the fiscal year in June. Those funds are not used to cover any expenses in the preliminary budget yet. The projection also doesn't include how union contracts and non-personnel costs could affect the budget. The district has not reached a new agreement with two unions representing teachers and support staff. The preliminary budget makes a couple assumptions when it comes to city funding. One, the city and borough of Juneau will fund the maximum of what state law allows, which is about $35.8 million. And two, the city will also allocate more than $2 million for non-instructional programs, including student activities, transportation, food services, and preschool. The city is looking at an estimated $10 to $12 million gap in its own budget beginning this July. Because of that, Superintendent Frank Hauser says it's uncertain how much money the city will contribute to the school district.
The city might not have as much money to support the school district, and so we're not sure if that instructional funding is going to be coming back to the district, or even if maximal contribution is going to be coming to the district.
The public forum will take place tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. at Thunder Mountain Middle School. Community members can also testify online through Zoom. During the forum, the district plans to give a presentation on the budget before taking testimony from school principals and the public. A district representative said it also plans to release Balancing Act next week. The online tool allows people to try building a balanced budget and provide feedback for how they think the district should be funded. According to the budget calendar, the board plans to approve the budget by March 12th. City code requires the board to submit a budget to the Juneau Assembly by April 5th. And Alaska's cruise industry is booming, and American Cruise Lines wants in on the action. The U.S.-based company offers passengers high-end voyages on small boats, and it plans to expand in Alaska in the years to come. But that plan doesn't come without hurdles, and that's because it requires prized mooring space in harbors that are tight to begin with. In Haines, the company said it would pitch in to rebuild a public dock to solve that problem. Then it backed out amid community pushback. The Alaska Desk's Avery Elfelt reports.
American Cruise Lines rescinded its offer late last week to pitch in $4 million to help build a new dock in Letnikoff Cove in Haines. That would have been in exchange for at least two decades of priority docking. The move came amid fierce opposition from some in the community. Looking out over the area on a recent blustery day, longtime fisherman Brian O'Reilly said the concerns revolved around the company taking up space on the dock and in the cove that's busy to begin with.
Stay out of our way. We don't want them cruising around through all our nets and all of our crab pots and shrimp pots and everybody doing their thing. Leave us alone. Go someplace where we're not.
Fishermen and other boaters used to tie up and tuck in here amid dangerous weather. But that changed when the dock failed in 2024. The Haines Borough has since explored options to replace it. And the closest it came to a solution was the American Cruise Lines offer. The deal would have nearly covered the local match requirement for a state grant. It also would have reserved a large chunk of the dock for cruises on certain days, but allowed public access otherwise. Haines Harbor Master Henry Paulin says the company did not provide a reason for dropping its offer. But ultimately, he says, the deal would have been the quickest way forward.
We never really stopped looking at our funding options, but the funding landscape is pretty grim right now with the state and federal government reeling in a lot of their expenditures.
The about-face comes as communities across Alaska struggle to maintain, fix, and replace aging marine infrastructure. That's particularly the case given that doing so often requires government grants, which are increasingly hard to come by. Robert Venables is the director of Southeast Conference, a Juneau-based nonprofit. He says many of those grants require local matching funds, which can be a heavy lift for small communities.
Having an outside partner that can provide those funds can really accelerate progress and infrastructure development, and also leave behind something that is more useful for the local communities, which makes it a win-win.
American Cruise Lines has made that pitch in at least three different Southeast communities, including Haines, as it works to expand its Alaska business. The company brought its second ship to the state last season, and it plans to bring a third in 2028, after which point it aims to introduce about one ship per year, the company's president, Charlie Robertson, said during a recent Wrangell Assembly meeting.
In order to do this, we've identified the need to invest in our port infrastructure.
In Petersburg, for instance, the borough is still negotiating with the cruise line over what a potential infrastructure deal might entail. But it's poised to look pretty different from the Haines proposal. Petersburg Harbormaster Glorian Wolin says it seems American Cruise Lines may propose leasing waterfront from the borough and building its own private dock. She says so far, locals have focused on ensuring they have a say over details, including the size of ships that visit and how often they come.
The community doesn't want to give over control. And American Cruise Line has seemed pretty responsive to that.
The borough considered building a public dock and then leasing it to the cruise line. But Wolin says the idea came with a big price tag and concerns over whether the investment would pay off for locals.
At that point, it became, well, you know, what's in it for us?
Ultimately, she says she appreciates the company's interest in establishing roots in Petersburg and, quote, putting their money where their mouth is. Wrangell is further along in the process. Earlier this month, the assembly unanimously approved a 40-year Tideslands lease with the company. Per the agreement, the company would build a floating dock that would be open for public use when ships are not in port. Back on the water, in Haines, O'Reilly says he has no problem with American Cruise Lines itself. He thinks its small ships with fewer than 200 passengers are better than the gargantuan floating cities that bring thousands of people in one day. O'Reilly just doesn't want the company's 270-foot ships in a cove or tied up to a dock that's long been reserved for locals.
I mean, I'd rather have no dock than have those guys in my face and then take up.
As to the $4 million offer, O'Reilly says that's, quote, chump change. With reporting from Colette Zarnicki in Wrangell, I'm Avery Elfelt in Haines.
And former Sitka State Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins entered the race for governor this week. He's the third Democrat to file alongside nearly a dozen Republicans vying for the vote. Christ Tompkins announced his candidacy before an audience of around 70 supporters in Sitka today. He said if elected, he'd approach the position the same way he tackled his work in the legislature, finding compromises across the aisle.
It's not like I'm throwing bombs or putting out red meat press releases or calling people names. I don't think that gets you anywhere. It's building relationships, it's building trust, it's treating people with respect. That's how I tried to carry myself in the legislature. And I think if we have a governor who can take that approach, there's a lot of good that can happen for Alaska.
In 2012, Christ Tompkins dropped out of Yale at 22 years old to run for public office. He narrowly beat the Republican incumbent, winning his seat in Alaska House of Representatives by just 32 votes. He spent a decade in that role, representing Sitka and other Southeast communities. Christ Tompkins said while he thinks the legislature is in the best place it's been since the 1990s with its strong bipartisan coalition, the budget is another story. Last month, Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed a plan to bring in more revenue for the state, including introducing a temporary state sales tax and oil tax increase. Christ Tompkins says there's parts of Dunleavy's proposal he would take and parts he would leave. But ultimately, the question of balancing the state's finances will take compromise and new leadership.
I mean, I think it's good he's putting stuff out there. A little rough that that's happening 8 years into an eight-year tenure. Unfortunately, I think things are at a place between the governor and the legislature that it's pretty unlikely that anything is going to happen this year.
Last year, the legislature overrode the governor's veto to increase school funding, but with increasing costs year by year, the school districts are still facing budget shortfalls. Christ Tompkins said he'd like to reduce budget uncertainty for school districts by passing a constitutional amendment to fund schools a year in advance, so schools aren't basing their budgets on a moving target.
The timing of the budget process is insane, where school boards literally have to guess the number that's going to come out of Juneau while they're finalizing their budgets. And again, more money, less money, whatever, but like, don't do it at the 11th hour. And it's actually like a pretty simple change that can just do a tremendous amount of good in terms of reducing uncertainty.
At the kickoff event, Christ Tompkins told supporters that they've raised over $400,000 for his campaign so far. He's the 16th candidate to file for the governor's race. In Alaska, the top four vote-getters advanced from the August primary to the general election in November, regardless of political party. A round of vetoes by Governor Mike Dunleavy have Alaska's construction industry on edge. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports.
Last year, lawmakers needed money, so they went searching for funds. They took millions from efforts to improve access to Juneau, $138,000 from the so-called Bridge to Nowhere in Ketchikan, even $766 from efforts to explore a bridge over Kinnick Arm from Anchorage. It was about $70 million in all, and it was supposed to go towards a federal transportation match that would unlock a total of $700 million in spending. Here's Representative Ashley Carrick, a Fairbanks Democrat, talking about it last April.
At the end of the day, we're really just pulling out of the couch cushions the little pennies we can find here and there for small bits and pieces of the overall budget picture.
But then Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed those transfers. He said a lot of the money lawmakers identified had already been spent. So for now, without that money approved in the budget, contractors are ringing the alarm bells.
You are introducing unnecessary risk and disruption to this process.
That's the head of the Associated General Contractors of Alaska, Alicia Kressel, speaking to the House Finance Committee. For now, Transportation Commissioner Ryan Anderson says he's less alarmed. He told lawmakers the state has its match covered for the current fiscal year, but that money runs out around the end of June.
It's after July 1 that additional we'd be missing out on. So we're really right now focused on that.
And Kressel says that's true, but she says not knowing whether that money will materialize after July 1st, she says that makes it harder for construction contractors to gather the right supplies and equipment, assemble their workforce, and be ready to hit the ground running. So she says any further delays getting the money out the door could risk the 2026 construction season.
When funding comes late, the construction industries and agencies can shift from planning mode into scramble mode.
Lawmakers have so far appeared receptive. Leaders of the House and Senate Finance Committees say they plan to move quickly on a supplemental budget that would provide the matching funds. They say they'll likely draw from savings to do it. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.